This morning's scripture reading comes from Proverbs chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. So you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord, and turn away from evil.
If you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, please turn to 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings chapter 5. We'll begin looking at verses 1, and we will end at verse 14. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and in high favor because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valor, but he was a leper. Now the Syrians on one of their raids had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel, and she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. She said to her mistress, "Would thou, my lord, were the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his leprosy." So Naaman went in and told his lord, "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel." And the king of Syria said, "Go now, and I will send a letter to the king of Israel." So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. And he brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." And when the king of Israel read of the letter, he tore his clothes and said, "Am I God to kill and to make alive, that this man sends word to me to cure a man of his leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." But when Elisha, the man of God, heard the king of Israel had torn his clothes, he sent to the king, saying, "Why have you torn your clothes? Let him come now to me, that he may know that there is a prophet in Israel." So Naaman came with his horses and chariots and stood at the door of Elisha's house. And Elisha sent to the messenger to him, saying, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored, and you shall be clean." But Naaman was angry and went away, saying, "Behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. And not Abana or Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Could I not wash in them and be clean?" So he turned and went away in rage. But his servant came near and said to him, "My father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, 'Wash and be clean'?" So he went down and dipped himself 7 times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God, and his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and was clean. When I think about this particular story in the Bible in 2 Kings chapter 5, I think about having a proper attitude. Because Naaman the leper had a sabotaging attitude. He had a sabotaging attitude towards what was said to him in order for him to be better, for him to be cured, in order for him to be made new. He had the wrong attitude. So just for a little while this morning, I want to talk about having the proper attitude. You know, having a proper attitude is important in everything that we do. In any approach that you have, you must have the proper attitude. For example, I think it's important for us to understand that having a proper attitude is important. So, like, for instance, myself, I started with nothing and I still have most of all of it. Proper attitude. Proper attitude. I'm proud of myself. I went to the store and I bought a Sesame Street puzzle, and it says 3 to 5 years, and I finished it in 18 months. Proper attitude. If you're going to criticize a man, you got to walk in his shoes. You got to at least, what, walk a mile in his shoes before you can criticize him. And I found this out, because if you are going to criticize him, at least you're a mile away from him and you have his shoes. Got to have the proper attitude. Got to have the proper attitude. And there have been studies, man, that show that if a woman who's a little bit overweight outlives a man who doesn't mention it at all. Proper attitude. You have to have the proper attitude. And many are rejecting God's word because they don't have the proper attitude. They misunderstand. They fail to really receive what the word of God has to offer them because they do not possess the proper attitude. Too many have an attitude of wanting to please themselves. Too many have this attitude about, I want to do what I want to do. And when we read the story and account of Naaman, the Syrian, we can find very much positive ways to have the proper attitude. What we need not to do when we are faced with doing what God has for us to do, what he's commanded for us to do, and not have the proper attitude. Here you have an individual who is a leper. He's in a high place, he's in a high position, but yet he's a leper. And he has a disease that is a horrible disease, a debilitating disease, a disease that gets so bad with boils and scars and all these things that come on your skin, your limbs even fall off, you lose fingers and toes, and yet he's faced with this, but he does not have the proper attitude. So here he is, placed in a position to get the healing that he needs, to get the proper treatment that he needs. But he does not have the proper attitude. So this morning I want to talk about wash and be clean. Wash and be clean. So first things first. So if you look at your Bibles, we read 2 Kings chapter 5, 1 through 4. Let's look at verse 11. Talking about having the proper attitude. So here we have Naaman. But Naaman was angry. He went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me, stand and call upon the name of the Lord, his God, wave his hand over the place and cure the leper. He had what I call the attitude of, I thought. There are many people that are in the Lord's house that have this I thought attitude. Naaman had the I thought attitude. He expected something different than what was told. He expected something different than what was told. The prophet had given him something. He heard it, but he had a different expectation. And when he didn't get it, he got frustrated. Naaman thought that something different would take place. He had made up in his mind. He said, listen, this is what's going to happen in my mind. I visualize it being nice. I visualize it being pretty. I mean, maybe some trumpets will sound. Maybe they will have a feast before me. Some magic and some stars and some lights will come down. This is how I imagine it to be. We can't have this attitude when it comes to being obedient to God's word. He should have simply been happy with being clean. Not worrying about how it was going to come about. Not worrying about how marvelous it could be. Not worrying about what all types of smokes and mirrors and all types of things and how he imagined it to be. He should have been satisfied with the fact of, I have the opportunity to be clean. I have the opportunity to be made new. Changed forever. And yet he was focused on what he thought it should be. I think about this when it pertains to us in the church. And the reason why is that in the world today, we don't have the attitude of, I'm so excited about the opportunity of just being clean. I thought in my mind that it could be done another way. You know, I see what it says in the Word of God. I see what it says in Scripture. But can it be done another way? A way that fits what I want, the way that I thought that it should be. Opposed to me being excited that there is a remedy for a disease that I have and I can be cleansed from it. Yet I'm worried about how I'm going to get cleansed. Opposed to the fact that I am happy that cleansing is available to me. Many become angry when they don't get what they thought they should get. They become frustrated. They become frustrated with what is told to them. And the reason being is this. They say to themselves, well, I thought or I assumed that another answer would be given. I'm tired of sinning. I want to change my life. What must I do to be saved? Well, you first must believe that Jesus is the Christ and the Son of the living God. And after you believe that, then you must be baptized. Well, wait a minute. I got to do what now? The attitude comes in about I thought. I thought a different answer would be given. So I got to go through that. Well, I want to be clean, right? I want to change. I want to be washed. I no longer want to be in sin. I want to be in fellowship with God. And so the requirement is what? I must believe and be baptized. But I thought it could be done differently. I thought it could be done another way. Perhaps we can figure out another way to do this. I mean, must I change my clothes? Must I go through all of this and I got to do it in front of all these people? I mean, like, well, is there another way that I can do this? What I think that we should start doing as believers and as followers of Christ and those of us who are interested in receiving the love of God through His word and His obedience and doing what He's asked us to do, we need to be more concerned about what God thinks than what we think. We're so concerned about what we think and how it ought to be done, and not just saying to the fact that I ought to be happy that God instituted, made a way for me, made a way for you. And instead of complaining about how it is done, I need to focus on getting it done. Notice in Isaiah chapter 55, verses 8, 9. For all of us who have the I thought attitude, let me help you and direct you to what the infallible word of God says. Says in verse 8, for my thoughts are not your thoughts. So your I thought attitude is no longer important. Neither are your ways my ways. Neither the way you operate and think are the way that I operate and think, declares the Lord. For as far as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways. Why could you ever think and believe that what you think is better than what I have constructed, what I've put together, what I have given to you? How can you possibly believe that that's better than me, the Creator Himself? My thoughts are not your thoughts, and they are higher than your thoughts. Goes over into Romans chapter 11, verses 33 through 36, and says, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Not yours, not your knowledge, not what you think, not how you feel. How unsearchable are His judgments and how instructable are His ways. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been His counselor? You think you're better than Him? You can't even counsel Him. Who is His counselor? Who is greater than how great I am? And yet we feel like we have a better way. Or who has given a gift to Him that He might be repaid? What have you done for Him? We're complaining about what He's done for us and how He's asked us to do it. But what have you truly done for Him? What sacrifices have you truly made? What have you instituted to repay Him for what He's done for you? Nothing. For from Him and through Him and to Him are all things. To Him be the glory and forever. We have to get it through our minds that this is the counselor who can counsel you through any conflict that you may face. We're talking about the one who has the solution to every problem that you have ever had to deal with in your life. This is the great I am. And we need to understand that it is our thoughts that get us in trouble. But I want to remind you that our thoughts are of no consequence when compared to the thoughts of God. The other thing that we need to be aware of when we're talking about having the proper attitude is that the expecting more than what was given attitude. There are many who walk around with this expecting more than was given attitude. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 11. In verse 11 in 2 Kings chapter 5, he says, but Naaman was angry and he went away saying, behold, I thought that he would surely come out to me and stand and call upon the name of his God and wave his hand over the place and to cure the leper. That's just what I thought. This is how I anticipated it happening. Naaman expected some type of special ceremony. He expected something special to happen for him. He expected something different to come about. And when it did not happen, he became angry. That reminds me of us in the church today. There are many in the church today that are leaving because they don't get what they expect that they are supposed to get. I expected to come in and, I mean, you are the children of God, right? And you say that you love the Lord. But I was expecting when I came in, you know, I got a lot of debt created. So I expected for you all to pay all my bills. I mean, I am my brother's keeper, right? I'm expecting for you to do all the things that I am possible and capable of doing. But when I don't get it, and when you're instructed properly, when you're led to scripture about how things ought to be done, you get upset with me. You get upset with the elders. You get upset with brothers and sisters who are trying to hold you accountable and treat you and show you in the right direction. And you leave because you're not getting what you wanted. Naaman thought that something greater would happen. He expected because of this wonderful thing that would take place in order to change his circumstance and his situation. He thought something whimsical and magical was going to happen in order for it to be a special thing for him. But I was wondering as I was reading, did it ever occur to him that the great event that was going to happen was his healing itself? Why was he not more or less concerned about the fact that I can get healed, that I could be changed, more or less than how change came about? A lot of us get so caught up in the process of how change comes about instead of looking at the fact that I can be changed. I have an opportunity to change my eternal destiny. And I want to talk about how I get to that point. I want to criticize and ridicule how God instituted it in the way that he set for it to be done. Let me tell you something. Many today are expecting something greater out of religion. And they're failing to see the greatest thing above all. The greatness of the ever-pressing, the greatness of the forgiveness of sin. They miss that. I'm looking for something so great that I miss that I can have my sins forgiven. I'm looking for some smoke and some mirrors and some celebration to go on that I miss the greatness of knowing that I can have a home in heaven. I'm missing the ever-greatness of having Christian fellowship with my brothers and sisters in Christ. I'm missing the fact that I can come here and remember the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus the Christ for my sake, even though I didn't deserve it. We miss all of that because we don't have the proper attitude. Let me tell you something. If you're not getting enough out of religion, I'm here to tell you, I don't look you in your face. If you're not getting enough out of religion, maybe you're not putting enough into it. Maybe you're not giving all of what you can give instead of complaining about what it's not giving you. And then the other thing that we deal with when we talk about the proper attitude is complaining about what is commanded and what I'd rather do. Complain about what's commanded and what I'd rather do. So a lot of people complain all day long about what he's telling us to do. Let's look at 12. In 2 Kings 12, it says, "Are not Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than the waters of Israel?" So you're telling me I gotta dip into Jordan? I mean, is there not another way? I'd rather do this. I'd rather do it this way. I mean, I understand that this is what I need to do. I understand what you're saying and it's clear and I have comprehended it. But I'd rather do this. He was told exactly what he needed to do. He was told exactly what he needed to do to heal his horrible disease. And yet he had a hard time trying to do it. I want you to just for a moment. I just want you to imagine. We all know that the cancer is a horrible disease. We know that that's one of the things we know that takes people out in a matter of months and days, you know, however it may be, in weeks. But I want you to imagine, can you imagine having leprosy or cancer and they have a cure and they tell you what to do and you complain about the cure? Hey, I have a disease. And it's called sin. And I want to change it. And the cure is believing in Jesus the Christ and being baptized, buried in water. That is the cure for my sinful condition. That is the cure for my separation from God. And yet I want to complain about how I go about doing it. It makes no sense. We have to have the proper attitude. Most of us would be willing to do anything if we had an opportunity to cure disease. I don't know what Naaman wanted. Maybe he wanted him to tell him to go to the highest mountain. And when he jumped off of it, he probably wanted him to say, whoopity-doo, three times. And then after his head cracks open, maybe he'd be cured from leprosy. Maybe that, I think that some of us, when it comes to being obedient to the gospel and understanding what it takes to be in Christ, I don't know if we're expecting something whimsical. I don't know if we're expecting something magical. I don't know if you're expecting after you come out of the water, you may have never seen it, that Brother Reggie gets out and he does the nay-nay. I don't know what you expect. I don't know what you expect. But what I do know is this. The expectation is that I have an opportunity to be cured from my disease called sin. Today, he complained about having to be dipped in the dirty Jordan, but he didn't realize that he was dirty from the beginning. We do not realize that we're dirty when we're in sin and we're not in Christ. And here's the cure: to be buried in water. Here it lies before him, the cure to change his destiny. So many complain about the Lord's cure for sin. It's ridiculous. The Lord's cure for your condition. You complain about it. You find ways to get out of doing exactly what God has prescribed for you to do. In my mind, when I think about sin, in my mind, when I think about eternal damnation, when I think about being separated from God forever and ever and ever, I just can't really imagine people complaining about avoiding eternal damnation. I want to complain to you about avoiding the very thing that I need in order to change my destination eternally. I got to do what? I got to do this and I got to do that. Yes. Everything that he's prescribed, you have to do if you want to be cured. Many, many complain about the requirements of baptism, and they'd rather do something else. That's that I'd rather attitude. I'd rather just say a prayer and just be done with it, or I'd rather just accept it in my heart. I'd rather just do faith only. I'd rather just be spiritual than religious. I'd rather just, can we do like some phone conversations or something? Maybe I can talk to the preacher after church and he kind of just give me a whole synopsis of what he's done. Just send me some CDs. I can worship at home. I don't need to be with the saints. I don't need to commune. I don't need to do any of those acts. I'd rather. And you're saying that you'd rather have this world than the love and the fellowship of God. I want to send a shout out to my boy Henry. Philippians 2, verse 14. This is one of his favorite scriptures. Do all things without grumbling or disputing. We ought to have that type of attitude, especially when it comes to being obedient to God's word. It says do all things, not some things or the things you like or the things that you have on your checklist or you'd rather do some days or not. It says do all things without grumbling or disputing. That includes being obedient to God's word. And the one thing that he had that I think that we forget about is that he had a caring friend. And that caring friend attitude is a very appropriate when we are going through the ups and downs and the struggles as Christians and believers. Let's look at 2 Kings chapter 5 and verse 13. He says, but his servant came near and said to him, my father, it is a great word that the prophet has spoken to you. Will you not do it? Has he actually said to you, wash and be clean? Naaman's servant did something that many of us need. Many of us need somebody that's next to us to point out our ridiculous attitudes. Whether that's the shepherds, whether that's a friend that's here, somebody you grew up with that's in the church, whether that's that, whoever that may be, whether it's the preacher, whether it's Dan, whoever it may be. one of our brothers here and is in his pews, one of the deacons, whatever you need, somebody needs to point out to you sometimes or one time or another that you have a ridiculous attitude about what God is instructing you to do, of the attitude that you have in life. And his servant did that. He had a caring attitude about him. He also brought to his questioning his reasoning. Like, what are you doing? What are you thinking about? Here you have an opportunity to change what your circumstance is, your condition, and yet you're complaining. You're having the wrong attitude about it can keep you from receiving what's for you. And the servant asked him, if he would have told you to do something great, would you have done it? If he would have told you to do something that was much, if he said, I need you to run 10 miles first, and after you run 10 miles, I need you to come back, then I need you to do 300 sit-ups, and after you do 300 sit-ups, you need to do 10 jumping jacks, then you need to put your finger on your nose, and then you need to turn around in circles four or five times, and then say, whoopity-doo, and then you'll be healed. Would you have rather done that than what he told you to do? If he says to you, believe and be baptized, is there something else that you need to do? We're always trying to change and correct what God has already instituted. We feel like we have to add to what he's already made easy for us. We make it complicated. And here he's saying to him, why would you reject something so easy? That's the question I want to ask you this morning. Why do we reject something so easy? You have an opportunity to change your eternal destination, and it's easy. And we make it so hard. Naaman was lucky to have such a good servant and friend. And we need more of that in the church so that we can remind each other the error of our ways when we are drifting off or when we get in the wrong attitude and get off focus of what we need to be doing. And sometimes we get caught up in a situation so badly that we can't see. But I'm here to tell you, if you're dealing with something, if you got the wrong attitude, you need to expose it. It's better to let the cat out the bag than to put it back in. I promise. You ever try to put a cat in a bag? It's better to let it out the bag than it is to try to put it in. And what I'm saying is it's better for us to be open and honest about where we are relationally, spiritually, and our relationship with God. And if we need to rectify that attitude, if we need to rectify and change the way we've been thinking, then we need to do it now. In James chapter 5 and verse 19 and 20, I'm almost finished. My brothers, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone brings him back, let him know that whoever brings him back a sinner from his wandering will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins. This is something that we must do. We have to take care of each other. Shouldn't be quarreling, fighting, and fussing when it's the truth of the matter is that you haven't done what you're supposed to do and your brother and sister points it out to you biblically and truthfully and with love. You got to change. You have to be willing to change. And that starts with the proper attitude. And last but not least, when we're talking about attitude, you got to have the obedient attitude. The obedient attitude. In 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 14, the Bible says, so he went down and dipped himself seven times in the Jordan, according to the word of the man of God. And his flesh was restored like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. Naaman finally realized how foolish he was. The question is, will you realize how foolish you've been? Your antics, your attitude. Some of us are grown. I mean, grown men and women. And we walk around here when we have been told the proper thing to do with the right attitude behind it, with love attached to it in every sense of the word. We stump around like somebody stole our bike. We act like 5-year-olds when it comes to knowing what it is that we need to do. It's been said to you over and over again that you need to change. You need to change your attitude. You need to change your ways. And based on what the Bible says and based on what the shepherds have done and based on what your brothers have done, we've been to you. We've been counseling. We've been talking. We've been praying. And yet you still don't want to change because your attitude is not in the right place. But Naaman realized it, that he was foolish. And many of us need to put away our pride. He put away his pride, our big-headedness, our stubbornness, our stiff-neckedness. We need to put that aside. Something that I tell Roman all the time, and I will say it to myself in the mirror, the days that I feel like quitting, the days I feel like giving up, when I'm tired too, and when you get to a place where I always have to be the bigger person, why do I always have to be the one to forgive? Why I always have to be the one to go the extra mile? Why I have to be the one to love my neighbor better than I love myself? Why I have to be the one that why? I look in the mirror and I say to myself, when you learn to do what is hard, your life will be easy. But if you settle for what is easy, your life will be hard. And what we must do is learn to accept the fact that being a Christian and doing this is not easy. This is not a cakewalk. This is not a walk in the park. We need to be disciplined. We need to be held accountable. We need each other. We need the Word of God. We need His grace. We need His mercy. We needed His blood. We needed His sacrifice. And we have to understand that this is not easy, but I'm telling you that your life will not be hard when you learn how to do what is hard. Naaman figured it out. He obeyed Elijah's command, and because of it, he was cleansed. He was changed. Many are going through the motions, but are not really obeying God. 1 Samuel 15:22-23, and he said, "As the Lord has a great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord, behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to listen than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of deviation, and presumptuous, and is as iniquity and idolatry. Because you have rejected the word of the Lord, He has also rejected you from being king." I think about Luke chapter 6 and 46. You say you love the Lord? Oh, I love Him. I love Him with all my heart, every fiber of my being. I do whatever He asks me to do. Will you? Because it says, "Why do you call me Lord, but you not do what I tell you to do? Why do you say you love me, but you don't do what I ask you to do?" There are many that are sitting here today that have not done what God has asked them to do. James chapter 2 and verse 17. I want you to leave with this. "So also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead." You can sit in the pew all day long and talk about how great of a person you are. You can come to every service. You can do all types of great things. But if you have not been obedient to God's word and His will and what He's prescribed for you, and you are not in Christ, you are in the world. I'm pleading with you this morning that as we close this sermon, to remember the attitude that he had. He had to change it. The proper attitude is necessary if we're going to be pleasing to God. If you're going to have a personal relationship with Him, you must have the proper attitude. So if you're here this morning and you haven't displayed the proper attitude, it's time to do it. There's no point of you continuing on playing with God. There's no reason for you to continue on lying to yourself. You don't have the proper attitude. If you're not making the proper changes, then you don't have the proper attitude. So if you're here this morning and you're tired of being stricken by this disease called sin, if you're tired of being separated from God and you want to be cured, then you must be buried in water. You must believe in Him and be buried in water. And if you are a Christian and you need that vaccination shot to be rejuvenated because you are sick right now with sin, you've been plagued with the wrong attitude, you can be rejuvenated by repenting of your sins. If you sin publicly, if you're doing something or having the wrong attitude, whatever that may be, I'm telling you that God can change any circumstance in any situation, but you got to be obedient to Him and you got to have the proper attitude. So if you're here this morning and your desire is to be washed and cleansed, if your desire is to be rid of sin, that sin-stricken disease, that debilitating disease called sin that has separated you from God, then please come now as together we stand and sing.